Hello and welcome back to the show Domestic Violence for Men. I am your host, Andy Reyna. And I know it's been a while since I did a last episode. However, my main goal when I was first putting together this episode was to make several episodes about what abuse is and the types of abuse. And then it occurred to me that the question kept popping up in my mind was, is abuse gender biased? And it kind of took me down a different path. It took me down a path of researching things in a different light. So I kind of posed myself this question, and I walked into doing some of this research with a very open mind. And if you go on different forums, like I have been doing, if you go on different various excursions on the internet, you'll find that from an internet perspective, that domestic abuse or any sort of abuse is extremely gender biased. So that was a very easy win for me. But I decided to take it to another level and think to myself, okay, why is it gender biased? And the rabbit hole I ended up tumbling down is a very weird space to get into. If you go online and you look at different forums, automatically men will be put in a category of being a narcissist. There's a lot of self-diagnosis going on with the use of Google and any psychological websites. A lot of psychological websites will refer to a narcissist, and if you read it, it's always his, he, blah, blah, blah. And I know that this episode will be kind of taboo-ish, but I found a lot of information that kind of makes the distinction as to why abuse is skewed and why it's gender bias in a sense. And it's hard for me to say the word gender bias because it's, from my research anyway, I found that a lot of researchers and a lot of professionals, and by no means, let me get this disclaimer out there, I am not a trained professional. I am not a trained therapist or counselor. All I do is I go out and I do a lot of research and I base a lot of things on my experience. So with that being said, let's dive into the why of all this. So what I have found is that oftentimes, from a professional perspective, outside of all the, forums and people in there saying that this, that, the other thing. So let's kind of go from a professional perspective. So from a professional perspective, what I have found in some of the research that I've done and some of the articles that I've read and some of the psychological articles that you can find online is that most of the time females will not be diagnosed as being narcissistic. Okay? Very rarely will you find a female being diagnosed or put in the category of being a narcissist. However, out of the gate, a man will typically be thrown into the category of a narcissist. So let me kind of dive into that perspective. And like I said at the beginning of this, I was going to break down each form of abuse. But as I go through this research that I've done, you'll find that the various types of abuse will fall under these categories. So typically, like I said, is that most of the time, females will not be categorized as being narcissistic. Most of the time, they'll fall into either being borderline or having a borderline personality disorder, antisocial, or pathological. Or they'll fall into a category of being HPD. And the H is, and don't get me wrong, I may pronounce this wrong, so, you know, I just ask for your forgiveness in this, histrionic. And if I pronounce that wrong, please correct me, give me the feedback, but I'm trying my best here. So let's kind of look at all of these here. And see what these consist of. And you'll find that each of these categories that females fall into will fall under, if you look at the various types of abuse, they'll fall under these categories. So let's take a borderline personality disorder. And these are just the high level sort of traits of a person who has P or BPD. So they're emotionally liable, they're self-destructive, they're fragile individuals, they have a high reaction to situations, and they have a push-pull relationship with somebody that they're in a relationship with. So with borderline personality disorder, and I'm not a leading expert on this, I just base my own hypothesis on the research that that I do. The one thing that really is important in all this, in my opinion, is the push-pull relationship. It's, I want to be with you, but I don't want to be with you. I like the idea of being with you, but I don't want you to be around with me. So the HPD is, this one is something that I know I have experienced in my own personal voyage, if you will. And this one, the main thing in all this is showing a lot of emotion to persuade others or attract attention. So to give you an example of this, it's being over dramatic. It's crying to get people's sympathy. It's using a high level of emotion to manipulate other people. And I know I saw this a lot in dealing with my own experience in my marriage and dealing with somebody who by no means am I diagnosing them, but my own personal opinion had both borderline and HPD. And actually, I mean, as we go down the list, this individual had various types of these characteristics and or traits. You know, it's, you know, being rageful. It's you know, pulling on your heartstrings, referring to HPD. Being antisocial, this one is very interesting, because antisocial, basically, you can kind of equate that to being a psychopath, who are extremely vain, they're reaction seeking, they have a sense of entitlement, exploitation. So these individuals are very cutthroatish. They their sense of emotion is not there in some cases. You know, these psychopaths can be related to like a serial killer. That's the extreme part of it. But in doing some of my research, I found out that 3% of the CEOs in the world are psychopaths. Let that sit in for a while for you. So in all of these sort of things, the one thing that you have to understand is that most of the time, with these individuals that have these sort of traits will have what they call projection. And I don't know how many people out there are familiar with the term projection, but it's basically projecting out themselves, but using you as an example. So what does that mean? That means that somebody yelling and screaming at you because you're not emotionally there, or someone, you know, attacking you because, you know, you were 5 minutes late and they don't feel as though you should be entitled to 5 minutes late, and they don't like people being late, or them coming after you for, so basically what it means is that, hey, I'm going to, and I'm talking from the perspective of somebody who has these sort of traits, I'm going to tell you everything about me, but yet I'm going to be going off on you. You know, you're very harsh and you attack me all the time. Well, you know, basically you're telling that person that that's what you do. You know, you interrupt me all the time. And without, I mean, these are very low level examples, but these are sort of the things that they do. So projection, where does that come from? And that's a very good question, because that's a question I posed myself, was where does projection come from? And basically, projection is a coping mechanism for somebody who is emotionally illiterate. So, you know, how does that play into this? Well, it's somebody who cannot deal with their emotions and just let it go. They're basically regurgitating themselves to you while at the same time tearing you down, because they emotionally cannot interpret their feelings. And one of the things that I have found in this research, with all of these categories that people will fall into, and I don't want to be jumping on just females here, but in 9 times out of 10, females will fall into these categories of BPD, HPD, antisocial, and psychopath. 9 times out of 10, these individuals will be, will have a history to them. And more than likely, they were abused as a child. Now, abuse as a child is a big, huge spectrum, because you have the extreme part of child abuse, which is like the sexual aspect of it, and then coming back to the left side of the spectrum, you'll have like, you know, sexual abuse, you'll have physical abuse, you'll have verbal abuse, and then you'll have a sort of abuse that I was totally ignorant to, and that is abuse where an adult will look at a child in a manner that is, that goes beyond, you know, the boundaries, you know, makes the child feel uncomfortable. So let's say, for example, a child gets out of the shower and, you know, there's an adult there that glares at them in a way and makes them feel like, you know, uncomfortable. And in reading in some of this stuff, you'll find that children that have had that experience will describe it as just feeling icky around an adult. And that's abuse as well, and that has huge ramifications. So you can see that the spectrum of abuse as a child plays into these characteristics that make people emotionally not balanced. And you know, without touching on this, because I think that this is going to be another episode for this podcast, is PTSD and CPTSD, which I am in the process of researching and getting some more information on. But oftentimes people will fall into those categories as well, because most of these things are taught as a child as a coping mechanism to deal with the environment that they're in. Because at the end of the day, a child can't just say, "Hey, I'm out of here," and go, you know, live somewhere for a week or a month, or just move out, because they're actually under the care of a parent or an adult in the house, and they just have to deal with whatever's given to them, which is totally unfair. So if you look at borderline personality, HPD, P, and antisocial personality, and psychopaths, what you'll find is that most of these things, again, are response to some sort of trauma that they experienced as a child. But the other thing that you'll see, hypergamy. I like that term, hypergamy. So that is a big, huge term that basically means marrying up. And in my situation, I believe, from my experience and my own, you know, physical being, and from what I've witnessed, that was the case with her, was, you know, using hypergamy, right? Marrying up. So, you know, she was married before, her and I got married, and, you know, last I heard, she's working on another individual to try and marry up in society. So hypergamy is the response to trauma. Okay, so now that we've covered all that, and I know that it's a very broad spectrum to take in, let's look at the male side of things. And how are men viewed? Okay. We went over the female perspective, and let's go over the why, and why men are viewed a certain way, and how men are viewed a certain way. So men are viewed as, and this is, I believe this is becoming like a cultural thing, you know, right off the bat, men are viewed as being narcissistic, which in many cases they're not, shockingly. But from a female perspective, you know, that term is used a lot. And really, I go out there, go out to Google, start Googling some things. You're going to see a lot of things. And if you talk to counselors, and if you talk to therapists, you know, their female clientele, you know, they're going to say, "Oh, I was with a narcissist. Oh, he's a narcissist. Oh, he's narcissistic. Oh, he does this. Oh, he does that." Okay, so let's get into how men are viewed. And oftentimes, if you think about this, and this is the one thing that really kind of shocked me, and it kind of made sense for me really, is, you know, within the last few years, what was the number one movie that women were flocking to, and what was the number one book that women, or series of books that women were reading, that they were so attracted to? And the answer is 50 Shades of Grey. Now, that character in there, Christian Grey, if you look at his characteristics, powerful, predatory, you know, abusive, manipulative, you know, he basically abused the shit out of her. And women were flocking to this book and flocking, you know, to the movie of this. And the question that I had in my mind was, why? Why are you attracted to a man who visually, on the movie screen, sexually abuses a woman, for one? And in the books, it's very descriptive as to what Christian Grey does to the female character. It was horrific. I couldn't even read the book because it was just so disturbing to me. So the question is, this type of individual, this type of Christian Grey, if you will, why are women attracted to them? Well, it's a taboo, for one. It's, I can't have that, but I do want it because I can't have it. The second thing is just desire. You know, I want a bad boy, but I don't want a bad boy. And I guess the question I have for the audience is, will the bad boy image ever go away? I don't know. I can't answer that. Maybe if you guys chime in on that and give some feedback on that. But if you look at the Christian Grey character, you know, he stalked her, he searched her out, he abused her physically and sexually. Treated her as though he owned her, you know, a slave, a sex slave, basically. And the other thing that I found just disturbing to me was that this was like a big deal for women. Like, they just couldn't get enough of it. You know, it was female porn. And to me, it was just rather disturbing. So women will typically, I wouldn't even say women, I retract that statement. Men are viewed as a Christian Grey type thing for women. They want you to be that, but yet they don't want you to be that. So if you are that and you give them to what they desire, then you're categorized as a narcissist. If you do not fit that profile of the bad boyish fantasy, then something may, you know, something wrong with you. And the thing that I found very, very disturbing, is that, the one research paper that I read, is that some researchers today are actually saying that that these sort of things that I covered in this podcast are culture types. So let me kind of get into that. Culture types. So if you, I'm trying to think of a good example here. Let's say that let's say that there's a child that's born into a tribe, and this is all hypothetical, so don't, you know, take it that far. But let's just say that there's a girl that's born into a tribe, and what the tribe does with all the women in that are born into this tribe is that these women become sexual slaves to all the men in the tribe, and that's accepted because that's what tribes do. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's what they've always done. It isn't until a researcher that infiltrates that tribe to go, what, there's something going on here. Like, this is not right. Like, this shouldn't happen. But to that tribe, it's okay, if that makes sense. Here in the Western world, we know that what we live by in our culture types are that, you know, borderline personality disorder, histrionic, disorder, antisocial disorder, narcissistic disorder are all categorized as wrong. And I really just want this information to kind of sink in to anybody and to everybody out there and to all my listeners out there. But really what I want to do is I want to kind of make this a topic for discussion. Because if you think about all of the abuse that happens in domestic violence or in any other sort of an abusive situation, I mean, you can go through the list. Actually, I have a list right here, and I was going to go through each one of these individually and break them down and make them into an episode. But after doing a lot of research and looking at all these, I mean, they just fall into a mental disorder that's spawned in somebody's childhood because of abuse that they received. And I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I'm just going to kind of cherry pick some things here, but if you look at physical abuse, you know, and physical abuse is one of those that, you know, comes from childhood. You know, I can give you examples of what physical abuse is, but I'm sure most people out there know what that is. Emotional abuse, you know, it's humiliation, it's intimidation, it's isolation, it's stalking. And some of these will fall into these categories, you know. You know, if you look at, let's take borderline personality disorder, you know, emotionally liable. You know, these people are not, they're not stable. You know, calling you names, putting you down, yelling and screaming at you, embarrassing you in public. I mean, who does that? You know, that you're not emotionally capable, you know, of being in that situation and being able to manage it correctly. You know, or being infantile or vain or hypersexual. Now, this one here, you know, hypersexual is something that you will see with a lot of people who have borderline personality disorder. And I'm just going to look something up here real quick. Because I'm kind of curious, and I want to see exactly what, if I can type correctly. Question that jumped on me right now. But anyway, the hypersexual aspect of it. And again, this is something that I experienced in my journey, was that this individual was hypersexual, and I think that's what got me. You know, I think that's the one thing that got me, was that. Most personality disorders will have a faction of hypersexuality associated with it because of being sexually abused as a child. And it's basically saying that if I'm not sexual, then I'm nothing. Yeah, so the question that I had was, what category does hypersexuality fall under in the DSM? And it falls under a cluster B personality. And I really want people out there to go and look at the cluster B personality. these individuals that have relationship issues that mostly are abusive will fall under the cluster B of the DSM. And what is the DSM? Well, the DSM is mental disorders that psychiatrists, psychologists get together and they kind of vote on as to what a mental disorder is. And quite honestly, the DSM is looked at highly around the globe. And I think the latest version was like DSM-5, I think it is. After I looked this up here, it's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the fifth revision. So I encourage everybody to go out there and just, I mean, you can Google it and find it on Psychology Today, like what is DSM? And then again, look under cluster B and you'll find antisocial, borderline, and all of these kind of personality disorders under the cluster B. And 9 times out of 10, you will find that people who are abusive fall under the cluster B type individual. So hopefully this information was very helpful for you. Hopefully you guys kind of get revved up about this information as much as I have. Again, I want everybody out there to walk away from these episodes as having information. So when they go out there, they're fully armed. They know what's going on. They can kind of start to heal. And that is really the whole premise of this podcast is I really want people to heal and go down a path of healing that I did. And it was a long path, but I know that we can all do it. And I encourage everybody to not give up. If you guys are in any sort of situation that is threatening or violent, please get out. There's a lot of numbers. Call 911, call the police. Again, I really want people to know that I am there for you. And I will continue this podcast just to get the information out there so that people will have in their tool set things that they can live by, things that will help them. And I just want everybody to know that I am here for you. If you have any questions, if you have any feedback, please let me know. Again, I know that some of my equipment is not really the best right now, and I know I'm working on that. But I want everybody to know that I will continue this podcast so that hopefully men and women who are in any sort of danger, in any sort of domestic violence situation, can have the strength to pull themselves together and to walk away and to get out of there as fast as they can, especially if they have children. So I want to wish everybody a good week. And again, if you're in any sort of danger, please reach out. It is very important to reach out. And I will talk to you guys again soon. You guys have a good week.